Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 128 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Kerry the Metal Geek.
Brutal Dave here.
Sound like you had to think about that. You sure you're Kerry?
I said it was like a question, didn't I? I'm like, am I?
Are you Kerry?
Am I? What you guys been doing? It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, everything's been busy as hell for me, at least. I know you guys have been busy.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep busy. You know, that's all I can do.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, right? That's a good start.
And you're done with the...
I'm done with Sherwood Forest Fair. Yeah.
How'd everything go for you? Good time?
It was cool. We had a really good time. This is our first Ren Fair, and we've been doing conventions for 10 years. Vending at a Ren Fair is very different from vending at a convention.
I would imagine.
So
worth it? Think you're going to do it again next year?
Yeah, we're going to do it again. Cool. This was kind of a good, I feel like this was a good trial run for the Texas Renaissance Festival, because we will also be there this fall. And I feel like it was a, attendance-wise, it was something that we could manage and take time to learn from and prepare for the next season there and prepare for the fall season at TRF. Great people. We had a really good time getting to know everybody out there, both people who run the event themselves and other vendors that we got to know over the 8 weeks that we were out there.
Sure.
And
good connects.
Yeah. Yeah. So very.
That's 2 months. Wow. Didn't feel that long.
8 weekends. It did to me. By the end of it, I was like, I don't remember anything before this. This is my life. I was admittedly a little bit testy and short tempered by the end of it. Like I was getting kind of fried.
You're like, I live in a forest. God damn it.
The drive to get there every day was what? How long?
Well, we didn't drive there every day. We would drive in on usually on Friday night, and then we actually camped in our shop. And it's bad from where you are. You probably get there in about 2 from here.
Yeah.
So
it's just right up to now.
Cool.
So what have you been up to?
I got a new job.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Congrats.
Thumbs up on that.
Thumbs up for money and not.
I haven't started it yet. I'll start late in May, unfortunately. But I'm excited that I have one. I've seen a couple of movies. I got free tickets to go see Colossal and then Free Fire.
Oh yeah.
Army Hammer and Brie Larson.
Yeah.
And Charlton Copley. Can never pronounce that.
Oh yeah,
the guy from
all the Blumkopf movies.
Yes.
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 That guy.
Sure, district whatever.
District 9, yeah.
District 9 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Colossal was okay. It wasn't...
What's Colossal?
He turns out to be controlling a kaiju monster in Korea.
Wait, what?
I had burst for the last 2 months.
There you go.
So it's a kaiju movie.
It's a kaiju movie wrapped up in a dramedy.
Okay. Does she fall in love with somebody?
No.
Okay.
It's actually quite the opposite of falling in love with somebody. It's about, to me, I took it as it's a movie about addiction and people dealing with abusive relationships. And it's coated in a candy shell of a kaiju movie, sort of.
That's an abusive relationship right there.
So they're tricking you into a movie about something by telling you it's about monsters.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. It's fun. It's a weird premise. I don't think it's the best movie ever. My girlfriend hated it. She thought it was stupid. Which, you know, it's fair. She can have her own opinion about it. My opinion. what else did I say? Oh, and then Free Fire. I saw that. And it was really cool. It's the trailer is exactly what you see. It's a 90-minute shootout. Yeah. It's about these guys meeting up to do a gun deal, and somewhere in the middle, the gun deal goes south, and people start shooting guns at each other for 90 minutes.
That sounds like fun.
It is fun. It's the guy, Ben Wheatley, the director who did High Rise with Tom Hiddleston. Thank you.
The voice from the other room.
Yeah. High Rise was
with the Tom Hiddleston.
I saw High Rise, and I wasn't a huge fan of High Rise. I thought it was a little too odd for me.
Never watched High Rise.
It's weird. It's on Netflix, or it was. I don't know if it still is. It's a weird movie, but Free Fire is fun. The idea and some of the action of it is not super great, because there are parts of the action where you kind of get lost to who's shooting at who. But like the characters that they portray really make the movie worthwhile. It's really funny.
They probably need to do like shirts versus skin, so you know who is on which team.
Well, they're wearing like these really bad like late 70s get up.
Okay,
so
that's cool.
You got
that's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I say definitely check it out if you like action and comedy. It's worth watching.
Very cool. I don't think we ever talked about this on the show, but I went to a couple concerts in the past few weeks.
No way.
Can you imagine? Can you name one of the bands that I saw?
Anthrax?
Yes.
I wanted to go to that, but I was busy that weekend.
If there was other bands on the bill that I was more excited about...
You don't like Killswitch Engage.
I'm not a big Killswitch Engage fan.
I like them. I think they're okay.
I can't remember the band that opened up, but...
There was another band? I thought it was only them
two. Two other bands.
Wow.
Devil Wears Prada.
Wow.
Okay, so here's
so mall metal, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they were not okay. If you like them, that's your thing. They're not my thing. Definitely, I will give credit to the drummer. The drummer was really good. So I just focused on watching what the drummer was doing the
whole time.
Silver
lining, man. Silver lining.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for. And I'm not gonna say I enjoyed their set, but I made it through it. The drummer's not bad, so I'll at least give him that much. You know what I mean? Everything else, not so much.
Not so great.
Anthrax were good. They
did they do a whole set? Because I remember last time we saw them, it wasn't like a real long set. It was like a 30-minute set.
No, they did about 9 or 10 songs. So it's a co-headline tour with Killswitch Engage. I was just lucky enough the night that I saw it that
you got to leave before.
I got to leave before Killswitch Engage. But so Anthrax wasn't the headliner that night. But they were setting up for Killswitch Engage. I was going to stick around a little bit longer, but they were setting up for some 3D VR. They were going to broadcast the show in VR. So they were getting all that set up. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to wait around anymore. Because I just saw a concert the night before, which was phenomenal.
Which was?
Amorphis and Swallow the Sun.
Oh, yeah. I remember y'all talking about that.
That was a phenomenal, phenomenal show. Did not mean to sound like our president there with phenomenal. But... I've been looking forward to seeing Amorphis for a long time. I've never seen them live. Probably 20 years I've been waiting to see those guys.
Did it kick out the Zitar or whatever?
The Zitar?
Zitar, I think is what it's called. I don't know. You hear it in there, some of their songs.
Oh, I know what you're talking about like that. Yeah, the
Middle Eastern guitar.
Middle Eastern, Oriental, yeah.
Zitar, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Are you talking about a sitar?
A sitar. Thank you. I couldn't pronounce it. I couldn't think how to pronounce it.
That's the Indian instrument. Yeah. Then there's other string instruments.
Oh, I thought it was a Middle Eastern thing. I didn't know it was an Indian thing.
Sitar, I think is specifically Indian, but I'm sure that there's some crossover there. But you've got some other.
Anyway, string instruments I hear it. Yeah, it's a Greek thing. That's a Mediterranean thing. Yeah. Anyway. I hear it in some of their music, so that's why I brought it up.
It was one of those things. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Swallow the Sun, so I just saw them a few months ago.
Did they Swallow the Sun live?
They did Swallow the Sun live, very much so.
Wow!
But I bought the VIP like package deal for Amorphis on Black Friday. It was really cheap, actually. I don't even want to say how cheap it really was. It was like
$5.
Wasn't that cheap?
$10
for a VIP ticket and show admission. It was like $35.
No, not bad.
I was like, all right, I'm down for that.
That's like an admission of a regular show.
Yeah, and there was only like 5 or 6 people at the meet and greet, which is pretty cool. They're very nice. They hung around for a while. I got another addition to my drum head collection. It was pretty cool. Everybody in the band was really, really cool.
Where are you going to put all these drum heads at?
I don't know. Some wall somewhere.
What wall space do you have?
I don't know.
You're gonna have to start hanging stuff from the ceiling is what you're gonna have to start doing.
But you ever seen you've been waiting to see a band so long, when you finally see them live, it's like a experience. You're just like, oh my god, it was like that for me. It was pure joy watching them play live.
Did cool. You crowd surf?
No.
Then you didn't transcend.
There's only one pit that broke out for a little bit, but
joking.
It's not a band that really has that type of pit mentality to it.
A lot
it,
of
know?
Dudes just with their arms crossed, just bobbing their head slowly.
Approvingly. nodding approvingly. I love this band. Yeah. Everybody was singing along. It was a good time. And there wasn't a lot of people there either. It was Easter Sunday. Yeah, there was only maybe like 250 people there at Scout Bar. But it made it for a very cool, intimate show. You know what I mean? That was a lot of fun.
Cool. So,
what did the voice from the other room say? She says she banged her head quite a bit. She did.
We don't really need to know that.
No, we don't. you guys been reading anything? Any comics? Any books or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I've been reading this book called Kill or Be Killed by Ed Brubaker. Yeah, it's a really good book. It's about this guy who he's really depressed, and he tries to kill himself by jumping off his roof of his apartment, and it ends up going south. He gets caught on clotheslines and just falls flat on the ground but not die. And he goes to his room thinking he was just really lucky. All of a sudden, a demon comes out of nowhere and like grabs him by the arm and says, "Now you owe me a life. And you got to kill somebody by the end of the month. And just to prove I'm real, I'm breaking your arm."
And he's like, "I was trying to kill me."
Right.
Well, he didn't die. That was the thing. And so now he has to keep this demon happy and to stay alive. He has to kill someone every month.
But he wanted to die. Why didn't he just kill himself?
So if you read the book, you'll realize after surviving the suicide attempt, he wants to live.
Okay.
Realizes life is worth living, but now he has to kill people.
Right.
I think
maybe he found meaning in his life in killing people.
You know, you're probably not wrong, because the way he has to like find bad people, he doesn't want to kill good people. He has to find people that are worthy of being
doing
murdered.
A Dexter.
Yeah, basically. And he has to go through that, and he like went after an old childhood predator kind of deal.
I think Justin maybe have talked about this
possibly
book.
It came out last year. Yeah. I had the trade sitting around my house and finally picked it up. I read that and then another book called Severed, which was written by Scott Snyder and some other guy named Scott. I can't remember his last name.
Scott, not Snyder.
Yeah, Scott, the other Scott, who's not Snyder. And it's this really cool...
He works so it's not Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
and it's really cool, like, old this older man in the 60s gets this letter, and you see that he has a decapitated arm, and then he's, like, talking about, "I used to tell people I lost my arm in the war, but that's not true." And then it goes in this flashback about this kid who runs away from his foster parents looking for his real dad. And then there's this crazy child predator who has sharpened teeth and tattoos all over his body who hunts down children. And it's a pretty good book. So if you ever see it in the store, pick it up.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it a lot.
I've been reading the autobiography from Michael Nesmith, which is not what you would think. He's a weird, brilliant man, to tell you the truth. Like the first chapter in the book is him hanging out with like, Douglas Adams and,
Douglas Adams, the author.
Yeah. The guy who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide.
Oh.
And then, Timothy Leary, like the whole first chapter is about them hanging out together. I'm like, okay, it's going to be an interesting read. Yeah. He talks about the monkeys a little bit, but it's not like the premise of the book. It's about his life, but he's a really good writer. And I bought it on Amazon, and like apparently I entered some contest on Goodreads to win a free copy,
and
I got a free copy of it same week. But it was cool. It's like the it's the proof copy of the book, so it's like before it goes to actual final print, it's like the version they would go through, and that's the version.
It has a whole bunch of notes on it and stuff.
There's no notes, but it's just like I haven't really compared to see if there's anything really different. But yeah, it's sort of cool to have that in my collection, you know?
Yeah. Now you just got to get him to sign it.
That's true. You're going to get him to Comic Palooza, right?
Get the proof one to sign.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
I posted it on one of the Nerdy Monkeys groups that I'm in, and like I got messages from people like, hey, are you willing to sell that? I'm like, no.
Yeah, tell them really. For like $1 million.
Yeah, maybe. $1,000, I'll
sell
it. That's
one of those things that like somebody asks, and so you want to put like a ridiculous price on, but then you're afraid that somebody will do it.
Right.
And you're like, oh, shit. Now I
should have went higher.
Yeah.
Sell it to you for $5,000.
I don't actually want to get rid of this thing.
Should have like, oh, no, I got another offer. Sorry. Better offer.
I don't know, somebody offered me a $5,000 for it. I might have to do it.
Yeah, well, you already got 2 copies of the book.
It's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just sell the $5,000 version that's not the proof.
I think they would notice.
Would they?
Yeah, maybe.
But you said there's no noticeable difference.
In the content. Complete, like the version that I bought is a hardcover with like a sleeve and all that.
Okay.
And it's just the proof version is just like a paperback version of the book.
Gotcha.
So what else has been going on?
Been preparing for Comic Palooza, which is right around the corner.
That's going to lead us into our topic actually for this week, because I wanted to talk about Comic Palooza and how people get ready for cons and how to survive a con, sort of. But we all come from 3 different places when we're thinking about Comic Palooza right now.
Sure.
Dave's coming from a vendor place. What are you going
to
say?
Oh, I was going to say, before we get into that.
Yeah.
The only timely thing I have to offer right now, I have been watching the new MST3K.
I have
on
too.
Netflix.
I watched the first episode of it.
I've seen about half of it.
Half of it?
Yeah.
I've seen 4 episodes of it.
Speaking of Netflix, I like it a lot.
I think it's great.
I like the opening a lot better than the old one.
Yeah.
It's more or less the same, but they're doing a sketch at the beginning, but then Jonah gets sucked out because now he has to perform the intro.
Felicia Day will be there.
Mm-hmm.
We've also been watching Bill Nye's new show, Save the World.
I've been meaning to watch that.
In the beginning, and each episode is based on a topic, though. Like, you know, one episode was like about sex, like sexuality. One episode was about global warming, which is sort of the same thing, right?
Yep, no? Of course, yeah, sure.
It's a fun show.
In Trump's America, everything's the same, apparently.
That's true. I did finish the second season of that Love show that was on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't even bothered to watch it yet.
Oh, my God, dude. Watching that show, it's not that the show was overly depressed, because of the way the show is written and done. I don't know.
Judd Apatow likes to be depressing.
Depressing and funny, sometimes.
Like that Comedians movie he made a few years back.
I can't remember
just don't watch any Adam Sandler movie. Just spare yourself the pain and just don't watch
it. We thought it would be interesting because it has a bunch of cameos from people. A lot of famous people are in it, his friends and stuff like that. But yeah, it wasn't good.
I saw a movie that was coming out on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Spade was here and a whole bunch of...
Rob Schneider was on it.
Yeah.
That would have been sort of interesting to see live.
Would it though?
Yeah, maybe.
I guess so. I don't know.
The... stand up.
Is this his last Netflix movie for his Netflix deal?
Probably not. I'm sure they. I think they resigned.
How many has he done?
3 that I know.
I thought there were at least 4 in the contract.
I think it sounds like 4. Because he did a movie that didn't feature him, but
it was Cobbler movie, and then there was that Netflix, Ridiculous though, 6. Yeah, it went straight to Netflix, as far as
did
I know. And then there was that Ridiculous 6 movie.
Yeah.
And now this movie, Sexler, whatever it's called.
He did a movie with just him and David Spade together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on Netflix.
I didn't know that.
I saw that one too. Better than this last one. Sandy Wexler or something like that.
Oh,
I
see it come up. Like Netflix keeps trying to suggest it for me, and I'm like, nope. They really want you to watch it, but I don't care.
No, I know that one too. I think that's why we did watch.
All right. Sad day.
Sad. It's not as horrible as it could have been,
mm-hmm.
but it just, there's a lot of great celebrity cameos in it, which is the cool thing about it, but it just, the character wasn't good.
It's funny. An Adam Sandler movie, so it's not going to be good.
But he's done some good movies.
Has he?
It's been a while though.
Has he though?
Yes. I'll disagree with
him. Since the 90s?
I said it's been a while. Maybe early 2000s, Wedding Singer. I mean,
Wedding Singer was in the 90s, man.
Okay, not Wedding Singer. 50 First Dates.
Okay. That was all right. I like that movie. It wasn't amazing, but it was okay.
That was like early 2000s, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was like 2003.
Okay, well, there you go. That was the last great movie. let's say good.
Okay, sure.
So what, I mean, do you have a favorite Adam Sandler movie from back in the day?
Favorite? Happy Gilmore is pretty great.
I feel like the first half of Happy Gilmore is pretty great. Once he stops being angry, it falls apart.
What else? I liked his that really serious movie where he had like an autistic dude trying to find love. Punch Drunk Love is what it was called.
Oh yeah.
I really liked him in that movie. I thought that was really good. And then that Rain Over Me movie about his kids dying or his family dying in 9/11.
I never saw
it. Depressing, but it was good.
Not as depressing as the last movie.
Well,
that was just depressing because it was
to get ready for Comic Palooza.
I think Justin and I are ready. I'm not technically work for them, so yeah, it's always.
I'm still not ready.
Yeah, it's always never not ready.
You won't be ready until it's over.
Yeah.
No. All right, let's.
Know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's move on to the topic. We'll be right back. Comic Palooza is coming up in May, which is just a couple weeks away from when we're recording this show. And I wanted to come up with a cool little short topic about preparing for a Comic Con if you've never been to one, what you need to do while you're there, how to survive it, and all that. And we sort of mentioned this a little bit before. All three of us are coming from different directions while we're attacking the show, but we're all coming from the viewpoint of a podcaster as well. So.
That's right.
I'm coming from the viewpoint of actually I'm an employee, staff member, so I have a lot of work to do. You're coming from the viewpoint of
having a comic book,
hawking your book.
Yeah.
And then Dave's coming from a vendor point.
Yeah, I've been doing conventions for 10 years now, and I think I've only attended like two of those. Everything else, I'm working in some capacity or another.
So let me ask you this. When you're a vendor like that, do you even get any time to go just walk around and just, you know, explore for yourself?
I usually end up taking at least a little bit of time like that. And it depends on the show, really. It depends on how the crowds are, how sales are going. If things get slow, I'm more prone to take a walk, but
yeah.
Even at stuff where we stay really busy, I'll try to take at least one trip around and see what's going on.
I
don't really get to go attend panels.
Right.
I have done a very occasionally I'll get to go attend a panel, and of course we do panels for the podcast. So I have that time set aside where I'm able to break away. But I don't get to do a lot of the stuff that goes on at conventions. So that
don't get to participate.
I do, and I'm happy with what I get to participate in, but I don't get to see a lot of the show.
I'm in the same boat now. Before then, I was going for fun, but now I'm trying to sell the book. And
you're on the clock. You're working.
Yeah, you're working. You're trying to get people to come over to your table. You're trying to talk to them, see if they're interested. And, you know, trying to push the book, make more sales, get more people to read.
And my job is to get more people to show up.
Well, it's the largest comic book convention in Houston.
Yeah.
So
it's the only convention in Houston left, so truthfully.
Now, yeah, you're
now,
right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the show. Anybody you're looking forward to meet?
I probably won't have an opportunity to do so. I usually don't. Trying to think. I mean, cool that Hellstar is going
to
be there.
I was about to mention Hellstar
awesome.
Is going to be there. I'm going to try to get them into our live podcast.
Cool.
They're playing all 3 days, which is really cool. They're playing Friday, Saturday, and then Friday and Saturday night, and then later in the day on Sunday.
Where and when do they perform?
It's a little bit later at night on the weekend, like Friday and Saturday, so it's like 10:30 or something like that.
Don't we have that live drawing thing going on
Saturday night?
Well?
Yeah.
So I'll probably be doing that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be in.
You're gonna be part of the live art.
I'm gonna try to.
Dude,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm So doing art live in front of an audience is a brand new thing for me, but I did it all 8 weekends at Sherwood. So
this time you're not in the woods, though.
Yeah, I'll be inside, I hope.
It's inside, but it's not my check.
But
it's actually in a really cool place in the building.
It's where all the arcade stuff is.
But that's a new emotional experience for me, being that kind of open with the process and everything like that. So
cool. That's cool. It's going to be on the very first floor, like right outside Hall E.
It's not like last year where it was upstairs near the arcade area.
It's going to be a big, wide open area on the first floor.
Huh.
If you haven't been to the George R. Brown here in Houston in a while, we had the Super Bowl here recently, so everything around there, the George R. Brown, the convention center, everything around there is completely done. It's a beautiful area now. It's amazing. Really, really cool. No more construction walls anywhere. None of that stuff. So... Hellstar is playing there's another band playing called September Morning, which sounds cool on paper. I listen to them. They're not my style.
Sound cool on paper.
Well, it's a, they're sort of like a transmedia musical group. So they have an album out, but they also have a comic book coming out from Top Cow with Mark Silvestri. That's based on like this premise of the band. Like,
he's one of those people that wear, like, all the band members wear masks and they all have like a weird futuristic story or backstory or something like that.
I think so, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
You might be right.
Lame.
I think the lead singer, her name is like September, and the story is based around her or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we also have Rex Brown from Pantera. He'll be one of our musical guests, as well as Marky Ramone making a return. Marky's a really nice guy.
He has a comic book, though.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to get him to sign. He did Alan Robert from Life of Agony, did a comic book that has Marky Ramone in it. Now I can get him to sign that.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool. So let's talk about, we talked about, you know, what we really want to do there. My biggest thing, that my autograph that I have to get, is Robert Englund. That's the one thing I have to get.
I am really excited about that, but am I going to actually meet him or anything? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm probably not.
I don't really buy a lot of autographs.
I don't. And we've probably kind of talked about this, but that's a thing that I just don't really do. I mean, I have paid for, you know, like a table meet and kind of stuff maybe twice ever. And it's usually somebody smaller. Like, it's not that level.
Right.
And it's usually as well as something that I can kind of like take time and talk. Like, I met Billy West at a show because there was nobody at this show.
Nice.
Sorry, I'm sorry to say, but there was nobody there. I love Billy West. I'm fascinated by voice actors, and he's one of the best working right now, and there's a lot of really good ones out there. And I got to go hang out and talk to him for like half an hour. And so it's like, yeah, cool. I'll throw you a couple bucks and get an autograph. Because now that's a story, too.
Yeah.
And that's more how I like to do that kind of thing, where it's more like, it's a story,
not
and not
of a,
so much
a cattle,
like, it's not
going through.
Yeah, it's not, it's not a, it's not purely a business interaction. There's some kind of story connected to it, you know, and it's just not really my thing. I'm not an autograph collector, unless the autograph to me is like, it's a signifier of an event that happened, you know.
I agree.
I think it's cool that the people are going to be there. Love Robert Englund, but yeah, I probably am not going to.
We should do a Metal Geeks photo op with Robert Englund. That'd be awesome.
Sure.
I do have like the DVD box set of all of the Friday Nightmare on Elm Street.
Probably right behind
movies.
Your head somewhere. I'm going to actually probably bring that.
There's this really cool poster from this website called Electric Zombie, and it has a picture of a girl's head being smashed in on a TV. It's like, you're alive, bitch.
Nice.
And it's this black and white poster. I was wanting to get it, but it's going to take 2 weeks to get here.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not going to waste the time.
Yep. That's true, huh? Wow. And, I didn't think about what I was going to get autographed by. I mean, I was like, oh, I can just get like the normal 8x10. But
it's cool that all the most of the Defenders are coming.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, there's
That's
a huge
cool.
Defenders lineup, so of course I know. You have Finn Jones, Mike Coulter, John Bernthal.
I have this really awesome Daredevil poster, but it's kind of like, I don't really want Charlie Cox's autograph on it.
Why not?
I want like Stan Lee's autograph.
Okay. We'll get both eventually.
Well, Stan Lee is not coming to Texas anymore.
We do
have,
which is sort of cool. There's a brand new actress. Well, she's been around for a little bit. She was an old boy, but Palm Clementife. But she's playing Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We're going to have her there.
Oh, cool.
Her very one of her very first, you know, big con experiences. So.
And by then, Guardians would be out.
Guardians comes out this weekend. So, yeah, it's like the week after. Yeah. A little bit of exposure on her.
Very
That's
timely.
Cool. What's that? Yeah.
Very
know,
timely.
Right?
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie, the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Norris. A lot of people are excited for Chuck Norris. I'm not a big Chuck Norris fan.
I have to admit, I'm kind of excited about Chuck Norris.
Are you really?
what I really want to do is go and find a Sidekicks poster.
I loved that movie.
One, Sidekicks was shot here in Houston.
Yep.
And two, Chuck Norris was in it because he used to live near in Texas. I don't know if he still does.
I think he does.
He lives out near College Station, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So.
Him and his wife have a winery or something like that?
Oh.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And what else are you going to do when you retire?
Sure. Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's like, what, 80?
I don't know if he's that old now. I don't know how old he is. He's probably in his late 70s.
Late 70s, 80s, yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe our friend Google will let
us
know.
We're about to know. Fret not, everyone.
So let's talk about how you not from a vendor or, you know, getting your comic together, but from just a fan.
77.
He's 77.
So
all right.
I told you he's close to 80.
How do you prepare for a show?
Know what you want to go see. It kind of helps to know where you're going and kind of have a loose plan because things change when you're at a show. Wear comfortable shoes.
I'm going to say, going along that line of wear comfortable shoes, you don't have to really work out, but
prepare yourself
do
for
some
long
training.
Walking.
Do some long walk training because.
And prepare yourself to wait in line.
Yes,
cons are about waiting in line.
Just like
basically,
going to Disney.
Basically, if you've ever been to a Disney park, think like that.
Yeah.
Prepare similarly. Stay hydrated, friends.
Stay hydrated. My friends. Bring some snacks. Wear comfortable shoes. Prepare to stay in a line a long time. And
be cool.
And prepare to pay overpriced food.
And also,
just like Disney.
Be nice to people around you.
Because,
you know, there are going to be some people who are kind of agitated because something didn't happen.
There are
going to
be grumpy people around you.
Just learn to be cool. Respect the other people on the other side of the table. They're just as human as you are.
Some of them are. And bathe.
I was going to bring that up.
Hygiene. Hygiene is very
important. Please, if you're going to a show, bathe in the morning. And if you need to, bathe in the afternoon as well. But for the love of God, wear fucking a lot of deodorant. Please.
Don't have to wear a lot. Just wear deodorant.
Wear enough. Let's say that.
And Axe body spray does not count.
No, it does not cover up.
Deodorant.
Does not cover up not showering.
Also, if you're going to be a cosplayer out there and you're
yes,
going to be wearing spandex and stuff, wear a cup.
Please. Yes. Agreed.
Nobody wants to see the jiggly bits down there.
With it, we're at one of the shows locally here
at Amazing Con.
With Amazing Con,
it was like a Deadpool.
We're waiting for the Rob Liefeld panel to start,
right.
And this dude comes. We're sitting on the floor, and this dude in a fucking Deadpool. He wasn't super overweight, but he wasn't skinny. He was chunky.
He was a hefty guy.
Hefty, not wearing a cup, stood right in front of us. We're like, dude. Fuck, are you serious?
It's like if you smushed a banana and grapes in an airtight bag.
Pretty much. It's one of those suction bags where you like supposed to save your food. Took all the air out of us. It's like right there. Yeah. Please wear a cup.
Just also be aware.
For everybody's protection.
Be aware for everyone, you know. Like, even for like the non-hefty people who are, you know, like even the skinny people. Just be aware that there are other people around you. You don't need to be naked.
And be aware there's kids around. There's going to be a lot of kids at these type of events, especially Comic-Palooza.
And also for the creepo guys, just because a girl looks hot does not mean she likes you.
And does not give
you permission
to touch her.
You don't have permission to touch.
Right.
No.
Permission to take a photograph is not permission to touch.
That's right. That is correct. And you have to ask for the permission to take a photograph. Don't just do it. Get permission. That's what we're saying.
Don't be weird.
Don't be a creepy dude.
Yeah.
I could say a name right now, but I'm not going to. My wife
knows. You can
be awkward,
just don't be creepy.
That's right. Any other good advice?
Save your money, because, you know, my rule is when I go to a show, when I wasn't like selling stuff at a show, my thing is I would walk the whole floor.
Yep.
I'd find what I really wanted, and usually by the second day is when I do all my purchases. Second or third day is when I do my purchases.
Don't do that. Buy impulsively. come to my table and buy impulsively.
There is, but I mean, this is what I did. I mean, that was my thing.
For everything else, but Geekazoid.
Yeah. But like, there are going to be times where you're going to have to like buy impulsively, like you said.
Well, yeah, because you never know if it's in a one of a kind or an original
or
thing.
Or if it's like they have a lot of it or not. It could sell
right.
out.
It could sell
in
out.
An hour
you never know.
Or less.
If you really, really run something and you're budgeted for it, go ahead and do it.
Sure.
Don't. I mean,
I have another don't.
Okay. Don't.
When you go to the artist alley, don't photograph an artist's work without asking first.
That's a
good
one.
It happens all the time.
Wow.
Now, like a lot of people will, you know, stand back and take a picture of the booth. That's cool. You don't have to really bother me about that if you want to take a picture of the booth. But when you get right up on the piece and like frame it perfectly,
so
that you can reproduce it later, please don't do that. Yeah, that's not
cool. You do
that,
you just bought it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only time I ever did that is like when I saw people like do recreation of statues and stuff like that. Because I mean, you can't really see it from afar. Because I saw some really cool like zombified Ninja Turtles one time, and I had to get some cool pictures of.
Well, and so it's not so much. It's not don't do it. Ask first. It's again. It's this. You know, consent thing.
Yeah.
Consent is good.
I think that's the word when you're going into a con when there's more than like 20,000-30,000 people around you. Consent. Don't touch people in a that just because they're wearing cosplay. Don't take pictures of things you're not supposed to. Don't do anything you shouldn't be doing.
Now, on the other hand, do talk to the artists, talk to the vendors.
Support.
You know, support.
Yeah, support local people, man.
Support the guy who's selling their comic
like, we
books.
All know you're here for the big dudes and stuff like that and the important famous people. But you got to remember, you know, us artists and writers are the ones who help get those people there.
Well, not only that, you never know what artist you're going to meet, which comic book creator you're going to meet.
Or who could just become an overnight sensation.
Who's
going to
blow
year.
Up and get big. And I have their comic before they got big. Or
right.
I know I have that piece of art from that guy. You know, support these people because they're trying to get their artistical, you know, output into your hands. Give them $5.
And also have fun.
Yeah.
Be sure to have fun. Remember, it's a thing to have fun, not to...
And don't get overwhelmed. Because there's a lot of stuff, especially at Comic Palooza, it's like 1 million square feet. There's stuff going around everywhere. So you have panels and Q&As and autographs and vendors and
that's
comic
why I say said to keep a loose schedule. Like,
yeah.
Pick the things you want, but you're not going to be able to go to everything.
Don't, just like, we're going to... Say just like going to Disney, don't get overwhelmed. Don't try to plan to do everything because you're not going to. So don't get upset if you
Although
miss
when
one
we
little
went,
thing.
You really did try to do everything last time you went.
We didn't do everything.
We really tried to, though.
Tried to?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right.
Take your own advice sometimes.
No. Not when it comes to Disney.
So anyway, yeah, that's like the quick ABCs of Comic-Palooza, I would say. Be sure to come hang out at Geekazoid and be sure to come by Grey Bear Comics booth and check out our Comic Speak No Evil.
Check out the Metal Geeks live podcast on Sunday at noon. Download the app. We'll be in there. George might have a little bit of a problem that day. We don't know yet.
Yeah, I probably won't be there.
You double booked.
I didn't double book. We got bumped. We were supposed to be at 11 and it was supposed to work out just fine.
We'll talk about that later. Let's not talk about that on the air.
Yeah, so Mind Fudge Comedy, you know, check us out if you got a chance.
All right, so that's it for our con preparedness. Let's, what do we got next? We got stuff to geek out on?
Yeah, we got some geeky stuff.
Let's do it.
I'm also excited that the voice cast from SpongeBob is going to be there. I think
that actually is kind of cool.
I love that.
It's that time of the show where we get to tickle our geeks a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you start.
Me? I'm starting?
Yeah, you're starting. This is your thing right here.
My thing. Okay. So recently, not recently, but there's a show called Leftovers on HBO. They're currently on their third season, and it's their final season on HBO. And it inspired me to go and watch it from the beginning. And I'm really enjoying the show a lot. And I recommend anyone who likes that kind of stuff to check it out.
What kind of show is it?
It's a drama with a lot of weird elements in it. What it's about is it takes place 3 years after a event very similar to the Rapture, where 3% of the Earth's population just disappeared. And so now it's about this group of people and their relationships with each other dealing with that event.
3% did, or all but 3% disappeared?
3%.
Disappeared, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Or,
I don't know, I might have said wrong number. It could be more than 3%. I think I'm saying 3% because I think that's what they said in the show, but okay, it could have been more. Anyway, there's like a big percentage of people around the world just all vanished. And it's very similar to the Rapture.
Where'd
and
they go?
Nobody
knows
yet.
That's the big mystery.
Yeah, that's the big mystery. I don't know if they're ever going to tell you because that's not really important. What really is important, how the people deal with each other and like the weird things, so the outcomes of people
you
vanishing.
You said this was done by Damon Lindelof?
Yeah.
So we'll never find out answers because if anything like Lost...
That's so not true. y'all hate on that too hard.
Well, I watched every single episode of Lost.
Yeah.
And you know,
name me one mystery that they didn't answer.
The smoke monster.
They totally told you who it was.
Who?
It's the guardian of the island.
Bullshit.
And he's also like evil incarnate, and his whole purpose is to get off the island and infect the world. That's why he was trapped on the island.
But
and that's why he
but
tried
were they
to
alive or they dead?
They were alive, and then they left, and then they died trying to come back. That's why the island was technically purgatory. Although I hate that fucking ending, but it's what they decided to go with.
And was anybody on that show from The Leftovers?
No.
So who's in? Like, I don't know anything about the show. So
I
try to sell it to me.
I told you the premise. The premise. I mean,
well, who's in it?
I don't know any of the actors, unfortunately. They're all kind of new to me. But it is a very good show. God, is the Steven Tyler's daughter's in it? Liv Tyler.
Oh, Liv Tyler.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, she's in it. She plays one of the craziest people. There's like this cult in the show where they're called the Guilty Reprieve or something like that, and they don't talk. They just all wear white and they smoke.
Christopher Eccleston's in it.
Oh,
who is that?
He was Doctor Who.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is in it.
He was also Destro in the G.I. Joe movie.
I just now fucking realized that
wasn't
the Doctor Who guy.
Yeah. He was Destro?
Yeah.
Okay.
I totally forgot that guy was Doctor Who.
He was also in Thor the Dark World.
Oh, he did play. He played the elf
Malchus
guy.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Well, he was in costume, so it's kind of hard to forget.
So Justin Theroux, Amy Brenneman, she's been around for a while in different shows.
It's
a good cast.
Yeah, it's a very good cast. It's a good show.
Scott Glenn, Regina King. There's people in there that are known. Okay.
Is Regina King a black lady?
Yeah.
Oh, she's in season 2. She's not in season 1.
Okay.
It's like the first few episodes are a slow burn, but if you stick with it and you get into it, I highly recommend it. It's a good show. And that's what I've been kind of watching for the past week. I burned through all season 1 and season 2.
Well, what about you, Dave? What's been tickling your
geek?
There's
been a lot of announcements and rumors at Disney World recently.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I thought that was going to be Carrie's thing.
And
I heard something different.
There have been a lot of them.
I've been noticing some of those, too.
They've started opening Pandora stuff, which I'm not that into, but
everyone's raving about it.
Okay, so we watched some of the videos that they had like a press day last week, so they let a bunch of guys go in there and they filmed around. They did the one of the rides is the boat ride.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after we watched it, I mentioned that it looks beautiful.
It does,
but there's no narrative to the whole attraction.
It's not just
at all
that there's no narrative. It seems anticlimactic. Like,
yeah,
it's the whole thing from what I saw looks like it's building up to something that never happens.
Exactly. I mean, they have a really cool animatronic of one of the.
That seemed like that was the big reveal.
Well, I think.
Yeah,
though,
but
I think
that's
the
not.
Whole
that's
point.
Not.
Yeah, agreed.
I think the whole point is it's kind of like you're walking into the world of the Na'vi. I don't think it's like. I don't think there's supposed to be a. like a set narrative, very much like a lot of the attractions at Animal Kingdom doesn't have a full set narrative.
Well, and it doesn't have to have a narrative. That's not really my point. It's more, narrative isn't important. It's the pacing. And it seems like it's lacking some big reveal or some big vista or something.
It feels lackluster.
And I feel like that animatronic at the end is intended to be that. And don't get me wrong, it is an impressive as hell animatronic. It is very well done. And a lot of the other effects that we saw were pretty cool looking. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like a big reveal. And maybe what it is, you're talking about like as a way to enter that area, I think of like what they did with the there's like the little like clamshell Finding Nemo ride as you go into the aquarium, go into the seas, where that it is an introduction to what you're about to go into. If it's that, okay, I can live with that. But that's also not a like top tier attraction.
Right. There's another attraction that you get to ride on one of the Banshees, is that what they're called?
That's not ready yet, is it? Like, that's still got...
It'll be open the same time.
They showed video of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's I thought it wasn't going to be ready for a little while longer.
That's the E attraction there.
Okay.
This other one's
that's
more...
That's their big ride.
That's the big attraction. This other one's more of a... It is a smaller attraction there, you know, not... But
a lot of it's just kind of like walking around and experiencing it, from what I understand. Yeah.
So there's that. There's the announcement that they're building a gondola system to connect the parks.
That's gonna
system
a gondola,
like a
system.
Sky gondola,
a sky gondola. So
as a way to connect Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and several of the resorts.
That's amazing.
It's gonna go to Pop Century too, which is like right between
that would
Pop
be
Century.
So
and,
more convenient than what they have now.
And so the word is,
but the wait will be forever, they're, though.
Well, the word is that they've already broken ground on this, and it's supposed to be done well before any of the Star Wars stuff as a way to offset the expected congestion that is going to come from all of that.
They need to do something for that.
But the rumor that I'm most excited about and probably has the fewest teeth to it is the rumored Haunted Mansion restaurant.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I read about that on Facebook today.
It doesn't have any real teeth to speak of.
Yeah. Who's these people saying
I don't know.
These rumors?
I don't know.
I'm going to say my joke that I said earlier, but I'm dying to get a reservation there.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. So what do you think?
I hear it seats 999.
It does. There's always room for one more. How can I not get a reservation? There's always room for one more. But there's also rumors of Club 33 style restaurants coming to every theme park in
I've heard
Florida.
That's a I thought that was a little bit more than rumored. I thought that was confirmed. That
I don't know if
that.
It's 100% confirmed.
Is that because the Club 33 is expanding so much that they need
make
more room?
I think they realize how much money they can make off of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to be able to afford to go there.
I was about to say, they're going
to
lower the price now or
something?
No.
Nope.
Probably not.
To make it more available.
There's also been a rumor about, speaking of Star Wars land, about a hotel.
Yeah,
I saw that. It's going to be the Mos Eisley kind of thing where you can.
Yeah, so it's an experience of a hotel. So it's a minimum of 2-night stay there, right? And apparently what the rumor is that it's going to back in right into Hollywood Studios, so right into Star Wars Land.
Yeah, you can just walk straight into Star Wars Land. So you're like encompassed into the environment at all times.
Exactly right.
So
and then they say it's going to be $800 or $900 for the stay.
So that. That is what Ouch. That's based on is surveys they were giving people to see what interest would be for it. So this isn't a confirmation that it's going to happen, but they're testing the waters to see if there's.
Would you do it?
I
not
totally
for that price.
That not for that price, but I totally would do it.
Yeah, I couldn't justify it for that price.
One of the video vlogs that I watched is a guy called Justin Scard, and he was recently his show is Random Land Adventures. Yeah. And he's recently been in Paris, at Disneyland Paris, and he's done a lot of videos around of the Disneyland Hotel, which is super cool. I don't know how much you know about this, but the Disneyland Hotel, it's the entrance to the park. It's on the lower level of the hotel. So there's like the first level and then below it. That's where you actually, the turnstiles are, everything. I mean, if you stay in that hotel, you go down the elevator and you're at the entrance,
all right. Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. That's what I'm imagining this Star Wars hotel to be.
That would
be
really amazing, though.
Yeah, definitely.
And it would be like a dream come true to any Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
which there are millions of them. So
they'll make
all that sounds is money is to Disney.
Pretty much.
Another thing that mentioning Disney, I read that they're going to revamp the Jungle Cruise line, but somehow The Rock is involved.
I read that
he's doing a Jungle Cruise movie.
Is he really?
Yeah.
On top of Jumanji coming out?
Yeah.
I guess, but
weird.
Yeah, he's on board to do a Jungle Cruise movie with Disney, and so whatever they're doing with that movie is somehow going to tie back into the Jungle Cruise ride.
So kind of like what they did with Pirates.
Yeah,
there's going to be a rock animatronic somewhere in that attraction now.
Probably.
It better be a very realistic animatronic.
The Jungle Cruise has been closed the last three times I've gone.
Same here. Last time when I went to Disneyland and Disney World,
It was open. We were there.
When I went, it wasn't.
Really?
So we're hopefully going later this year, and hopefully the Jungle Cruise will be open so I can see it
before
they do all of this.
Later in the year, what you're talking about, you'll be able to do the Jingle Cruise.
Oh, do they do that?
They do an overlay for like the holidays and stuff.
Well, that's interesting.
I went to Disneyland, yeah, but it was closed for that purpose.
Oh, okay.
Because they were doing the overlay or something fell or whatever, and they were
Now, speaking of Disneyland and Disney rumors, I don't know if it's really a rumor anymore, but the attraction for Guardians of the Galaxy opens in a month, like May 27th.
I think it's the D23 weekend is when it opens.
No, it opens up in May.
Oh, yeah. Because what I've been reading is that they're doing like this huge unveiling at D23.
I've got to pull up the song list, but apparently there's going to be six different versions of the attraction that you can go through. Let's see here. This is where we have some music in the background or something.
It's going to probably be you know how in the Tower of Terror has the narration the whole entire time?
Right.
I guess they're just going to replace it with music.
So apparently there's going to be six different songs that are going to be randomized. So you'll get a different style of experience every time you ride the attraction. But, you know, ultimately it's still the drop tower experience.
You know, they should do that for the Aerosmith Rockin' Coaster. They should do an overlay for Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
They did a Star Wars overlay for one day or something like that. And I've seen video of it. I was like, that's pretty cool.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy is well-suited for that Rockin' Coaster Aerosmith thing, especially since they're losing their contract.
Supposedly, yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea.
If they can't do the Tower of Terror in Florida...
They'd better fucking not.
This will be the other way that they can do that.
I would be okay with that one.
Yeah, me too. No one fucking cares about Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what about you, Carrie?
Steven Tyler does.
What have you been geeking out about?
What I've been geeking out right now is the new Arion album. Came out last week. I've ordered my copy. I have not received it. I ordered it from the record label, and I ordered an autographed version of it, but I have been jamming the hell out of it on Spotify. It's really, really, really good.
I know you're a big fan.
Yeah.
The only Arion album I really listened to, I guess the only one I've listened to all the way through was the, what was it called? The Human Equation or whatever, that Michael Aukerfeldt and Devin Townsend and Eric Clayton and a bunch of people.
That's one of my favorite albums,
It's great. Really good album.
So, there's an overlaying, Arion is a character. And there's this overlaying story arc over all of his albums. Even the Human Equation is part of that. And the Source, it's a prequel to everything.
Okay.
So it's about the planet, them fucking up the planet dying, they're going off to find a new place to live. Very much like Alien Covenant, sounds like. Hopefully there's no aliens in this album, but the people that he has on this album, it's freaking amazing, man.
Is Devin Townsend in it?
Devin Townsend is not in it, actually. Unfortunately. So personnel, James LaBrie is one of the main vocalists. He's the narrator style guy. Tommy Karavec from Camelot is in here, and everybody's playing characters.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Rogers from Between the Buried and Me, Simone Simmons from Epica, Niles K. Rue from Pagan's Mind, Tobias Sammet from Edguy Avantasia. He amazing job on this album. Hanzi, and we were listening to this in the car the other day, and when Hanzi came on at one point, I made a comment to my wife. I was like, man, Hanti brings a certain style of class to anything he's on. It just elevates everything a little bit more. And that's when Kim's like, oh, yeah, Hanti's classy as fuck. Like, yep, pretty much. Russell Allen is on this album, much better than Adrenaline Mob. Floor Jansen and the singer from Mirass is actually on this album for one song, couple songs. But it's not like... It's just a really well done, narrative driven album. So I'm really looking forward to getting my physical version of the album, and reading through the lyrics and reading through everything going on the storyline, while I listen to the album. You know, because you can only get certain pieces from watching like music videos and listening to the lyrics. You know, but yeah,
word,
lots of words put together to music. Exactly right. Speaking of music, we should get into some George Hates Metal now.
Okay.
Let's do that. Favorite part of the episode, George Hates Metal. And that was brought to you...
Favorite part? Is it really?
Yes, it's... Because we like to see you squirm and like... So, Dave has all the information about the gentleman who like recommended this
well,
band.
I don't have all the information about the gentleman. This was suggested to us by Andrew Kirkendall via our Facebook page. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. This is a band... I didn't know about.
Me either.
So this was kind of a first for all of us. So this is...
Maybe we should get your guys' thoughts first.
We're
going to
get
I
your thoughts first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But for context, who we're listening to is a band from Colorado called In the Company of Serpents. It's a two-man kind of atmospheric death doom kind of a thing. And we found their material on Bandcamp, which is how we were able to listen to some of it.
In the Company of Serpents, doom.bandcamp.com.
Yep. So they're like super indie right now.
Yeah, sure.
Ein Sof Hour was the name of the album recommended that we check out.
And the song we heard was?
Middle Pillar.
Middle Pillar.
So lots of Kabbalah themes going
on
here.
I don't want to jump before you, but let's let George give his opinion here, because he hates metal. We don't.
I don't hate metal. That's not true at all. I don't know. I didn't know what to think. It was kind of like meh. It was just kind of bland and boring.
And you sort of like this kind of stuff. You like the drony, doomy type.
Some of it, yeah. Like when it's good. This one just sounds kind of like middle of the road. Sounds just like everything else out there. Nothing special.
What did you think about the vocals?
Nah, couldn't make out a word he said, so it didn't matter to me.
That's why they're good.
I don't know. It's okay, I guess. I mean, if it came on like a mixed radio, I probably would just ignored it and continued doing whatever I was doing. But I would never seek it out and listen to it.
What about you, Dave? Would you seek this out?
I intend to.
I do too.
I'm going to check out more. I really liked this.
I do too.
I could tell from the quiet droning intro that I was going to enjoy it, and then it got heavy, and I was right.
Yep.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It
so.
Reminds me of a band like some late 90s, early 2000s, like drony death doom bands like Mind Rot, and then a band that I really used to like called Eyes of Fire. It has sort of that same style to it, and I really like these guys.
Yeah, this is something we've only heard this one song so far. That's all we've listened to, but I intend to check out the rest of this album and some of the rest of their material.
I was actually tempted to buy the vinyl here. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's not bad. After one song?
After one song.
No, wow. I'm thinking about, I don't collect vinyl, but I was thinking about at least doing a digital album just off based off that one song. I really liked it.
That's so. pretty high praise from here.
Yeah.
Is it, though?
If we're willing to put money towards something, it's pretty high praise, I think.
So anyway, that's my take on it. I thought it was kind of boring and middle of the road.
Well, that's sort of the song title.
Quite literally, yes, it was.
See what you did there. So have you been listening to any metal at all recently?
I've been listening a lot to the new Mastodon album.
It's pretty good.
And
it's pretty good, I agree.
And then
it's not the second coming of like metal or anything, but
no, it's just as good as their last album. I think the Once Time Around the Sun.
I think it's a little bit better than the last album.
I think it's worth. It's certainly noteworthy that Mastodon outsold literally everybody.
Yeah, they had a number one album. Wasn't
That's
it?
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, they had a number one album by like a pretty wide margin. Which
marketing, it works.
Well, yeah, marketing works, but music like this will survive. People that, you know, a lot of the music that's out there, the top 40 pop type stuff.
Well, it's acceptable metal, I think. Like, anybody who doesn't listen to metal regularly can listen to a couple of songs from Mastodon and be like, okay.
They have this one song on there that I saw in the duo on Jimmy Kimmel, I think.
Yeah, like that's their big radio single right now.
When I first heard it, the first time I heard it was when they played it live on there. I was like, wow, this is going to blow them up because this is the fucking radio-friendly hit if I've ever heard one. And most of the song was sung by Bran, the drummer. Yeah.
Yeah, he does all the clean vocals, and the guitarist does the heavier stuff.
Right.
So I've been listening to that, and I've been discovering more Testament.
Really?
Well, I mean, because last time I came on the show, I told you guys I discovered that I'm a Testament fan. So I've been kind of going backwards on their catalog.
Did you check out First Strike Still Deadly?
Whatever's available on Spotify is what I've been listening to. I don't know if it's available on there.
That one's a good one because it's classic Testament songs, but with updated production.
Modern production.
I think the album I'm listening to right now is the Best Of album.
Okay.
And there's a lot of good songs in there. There's a couple songs I just kind of skip over because it just kind of either bad recording or it just kind of sounds meh. But I've been listening to that. Also been listening a little bit more Exhumer, but I liked Exhumer for a long time.
Exhumer?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's about it.
I think I've seen them before. I don't remember.
Probably.
I know it's not Exhumed, so.
No, it's Exhumer. As E-R Exhumer, at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been doing that and getting, you know, listening to just whatever comes up on my shuffle on my Spotify playlist.
I'm surprised. I'm really excited about I'm a huge fan of those guys, and it's interesting to hear you sort of discovered it on your own.
Yeah, it was just by accident. It came up through the Thrash radio on Spotify, and I was like, oh, this is kind of good. And I went back to go see who it was, and sure enough, I saw the name, and I had a good laugh because I always see Dave wearing the shirt.
I don't have a Testament shirt.
Oh, who is it? It must be Sean then.
I don't.
One of you guys has a Testament shirt. I've seen.
If you want to get me a Testament shirt,
I have one.
I'll wear
it. Okay, so one of you have worn a Testament shirt. I don't remember who it is now. But I was like, oh, that's funny because I know you guys like them. And I know we've had conversations about them. I just kind of wrote them off as like one of your shitty pop metal band that you like. Or not pop metal, but your epic metal band.
Power metal.
Power metal.
Power metal.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of the Metal Geeks podcast. It's been a fun experience talking about all kinds of geeky things, huh?
Cons and Disney and movies and comics and musics.
Sounds like we like this kind of shit.
What?
What? So, any other topics that we didn't touch upon that you guys wanted to talk about before we leave?
No.
At the moment, no.
Me either.
I'm excited that D23 is here.
Are you planning to still go to that?
If things work out.
Yeah?
Possibly, yes. Maybe. It all depends.
I would love to go to that,
how
too.
How my finances iron themselves out between.
Like I tell you,
now.
I went to D23, 2013? I had a fucking blast.
You know, maybe if we get some press passes, it might be easier to go.
Maybe. It's still expensive, though. You're still flying to California, going to Disney, staying in a hotel.
Yeah, that's the easy part.
Yeah, maybe. I had a blast there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm hearing there's going to do a lot of exciting announcements at D23 this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff coming up and a lot of, you know, Star Wars Land type of stuff that they haven't really talked about yet. So, yeah, maybe that hotel.
Yep.
Bringing it back.
Would be awesome.
All right, so thanks for tuning in. You can visit our website at metalgeeks.net to keep up with all of our geekery. If you want to send us an email, msrcast@gmail.com. If you have a recommendation, a topic you want to talk about, something for George Hates Metal, reach out to us on msrcast@gmail.com or our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, all at Metal Geeks. While you're searching for Metal Geeks, go to iTunes, subscribe to us there, leave a 5-star review, give us a thumbs up or whatever they do there.
And share it with your friends.
And share it with your friends, because that really helps people know about the show, truthfully. And I guess the other place you can find us is esopodcast.com. Now, what about you? Where can people find you?
Right now, you can just check out our Grey Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. We have our new comics. Our issue 3 is under its way. So check us out for...
When do you anticipate that to drop? As they say,
I'm not 100% sure right now. We're in the middle of the book right now. We're still getting some pages, so I don't want to give a date and it be wrong. Probably by the end of the summer, maybe.
Cool. Wow.
Maybe, hopefully sooner, but who knows? Just check us out at Grey Bear Comics, also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me, George Tripsis, at anything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And that's it for me.
You will find me at Comic Palooza with Geekazoid. You can find us online by looking for I Love Geekazoid. That'll get you to our web store and our social media pages. At Comic Palooza this year, we will be heavily featuring our own artwork that we have been working on over the last year. You can see my artwork by looking for Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that web store will be opening soon. And my partner in business and in life, my wife, Valerie, you can find her work by looking for Battle Maiden.
That's right. She just started her own Facebook page.
She just opened the Facebook page. She's had her Instagram running for a while now. She posts a lot of works in progress and stuff like that.
I like the new Freddy design that she did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's tempting. Very tempting.
Be sure to check us out at Comic Palooza, guys.
That's right. Find us there and hang out with us.
Yeah, it's
we won't buy
May 12th through the 14th.
So next weekend.
Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day weekend. Bring your mother and geek out with us.
That's right.
All right, well, thanks a lot, and we will see you guys on the next episode. Oh, yeah, what's that last thing we do on this show?
Keep it metal.
And with something else, too.
Always keep it geeky.
That's it.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.